Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We bring in from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville for our Friday morning chat, our friend Jimmy Hyams. What's going on, Jimmy?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Is this UTEP team we'll see tomorrow a whole lot better than the East Tennessee team we saw last week? And kind of what does Tennessee hope to get out of this one?
Well, UTEP's not a whole lot better. They're ranked 130 out of 130 teams in the FBS. The one thing they do better than ETSU is offensively they're better. They have a quarterback that I think is mobile that can give Tennessee some trouble. Cade Locksley, whose dad is the offensive coordinator at Alabama, whose dad coached last 2 years with Jeremy Pruitt at Alabama. He's a threat. He's a good athlete. Not a real good passer, but he's a really good runner. Other than that, this is not a very good team. They gave up over 400 rushing yards to UNLV. And that'll tell you a little bit of something about their defense. Their defense is terrible. Tennessee should have its way offensively. But I do think the Miners, will have a couple of drives and threaten a little bit more offensively than what ETSU did.
An 11 a.m. kickoff, or I guess noon in Tennessee's case, in Eastern time, doesn't always lead to a fast start for the home team. But how does Tennessee do better in the opening quarter than they have in the first two games so far?
But that's a good question. They didn't do well against West Virginia. They didn't do well against ETSU. I think we know they had -1 yard rushing on the first 8 carries in the first quarter against ETSU. I'm not sure what they do to try to change that. It might help that the kickoff time for UTEP is 10 a.m. because they're on mountain time. So maybe they'll be sleepwalking more than Tennessee has been, but I'm not sure the answer to that. I don't know if it's coming out and throwing a bomb or what the answer is, but they have not played well the first quarter. That's kind of a mystery because there's really no way, I think, to pinpoint that. I don't know if you get out there and you try to hit and through warm-ups, you almost try to go through a first quarter of play before you get out there and start the game. I'm not sure the answer to that. Maybe playing a defense as bad as UTEP will help.
Jeremy Pruitt, his answer when he was asked about his team's leadership kind of made some headlines this week. What did you make of his thoughts on that subject?
Well, I think it's probably true. I think it's probably true a year ago as well that he doesn't have many leaders and he doesn't have players that are willing to confront the other players. And we always heard from Butch Jones, you need a player-led team. And while Pruitt's not saying it exactly that way, that's basically the same thing. And I do think that when you're coming off a horrible season like Tennessee did last year, it's hard to find leaders on the team. And I think that's one of the challenges that he has is to get people in that mode. And I don't know that that's – I think it's hard to force people to become leaders. I think some people can become better leaders by doing things by example. But I think sometimes it's hard if you're not used to confronting somebody and jumping on a teammate. I don't know that all of a sudden you feel comfortable doing that. And that's one of the things that Pruitt was talking about.
Going with Jimmy Hyams from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. You know, that's always interesting because leadership, Jimmy, in college is huge. How many guys were leaders? And when I say that, I want to say that they were the captains of their high school team. Because I think a lot of colleges now are dealing with that same issue. I know they're going through transition there in Tennessee. But they're going through the transition, and a lot of, let's say, millennial athletes are scared to get on their friends because then all of a sudden now you're not my friend. See, that's a whole different ball game. So then it leads you down the road of how many guys of these guys were captains in high school, let alone in middle school? Because mostly captains are always been captains, and they don't care about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that in talking to coaches I've talked to a lot of coaches that wanted players that came from state championship winning teams or teams that played for a state championship or teams that were used to winning because they knew what it was like to win. How many of those players were actually captains? I don't know the answer to that. It would be interesting, and in fact, that gives me an idea. Next time I talk to Pruitt, when you recruit, will you focus mainly, will a part of that evaluation recruiting be, was that player a team captain? As opposed to just playing on a winning team. I'll ask him that next time I have an opportunity, but I think that's an interesting point.
Has Coach Pruitt talked about how he's trying to keep the guys from looking ahead to Florida when you're playing UTEP, a team that you know you're inferior and that you're better than?
He hasn't talked about that, and it was interesting, though. We were interviewing Daniel Petulli the other day, and one guy asked him, he said, you know, Florida, they lost to Kentucky. You know, what are your thoughts about Florida? He says, when I think about Florida, we think about UTEP. The truth is, this team really should not be overlooking anybody. When you were 4-8 the year before, you shouldn't overlook anybody. And I know that UTEP's not very good, but how embarrassing would it be to lose a game like that? I don't think they are looking ahead to Florida. I think they understand the task at hand. I think they understand they are not that good of a football team, and they're not good enough to just to overlook anybody on the schedule. So I don't think that'll be an issue.
Have they talked about any of trying to hit the ball more so in their playmakers' hands, specifically the receivers? And I'm referring to, you know, Jennings, to see if he can get a little more involved, even if it's just a, you know, hitch out. You know, it doesn't have to be a big play, just because I think his energy and passion for the game will ignite a lot of players, and it can be a form of leadership in a certain way.
Yes. In fact, Jeremy Pruitt has addressed that, and he said he did talk about how Jennings earlier had missed a lot of time. He missed all the spring. He missed part of the August drills because of nicks and bruises, and he said that he was still trying to gain his stamina, which to me is another way of saying he's not really in great shape. And so I think that's been a part of it. But he did say that once he gets that stamina, they need to target him more. They need to get him the ball more. Tyson Helton, speaking of the quarterback club, said they need to get the ball more to Josh Palmer. He's their fastest receiver. He's a speedster, as Helton called him. I think he had 2 touches the other day. He had a 20-yard reverse for a touchdown, and he had a 50-yard reception. So they also want to get the ball into Palmer's hands more often.
Jimmy, how important is getting some consistency out of the offensive line? And I mean from the beginning, and not having a team like UTEP, you know, just befuddle them the way that East Tennessee State did a week ago.
Paramount is the biggest concern on this football team, in my opinion, the offensive line. I know a lot of people were talking about, well, with this new coaching staff and with all this and that, this offensive line is going to be a lot better. I didn't buy it because I've heard that talk a while. And the one thing, Mark, that I pointed out to people, and then Cole Kubelik backed it up, this was an offensive line that was going from a zone read scheme where they pushed and shoved and kind of got in the way to an I formation where they wanted them to be a more physical offensive line. And the only one that I felt comfortable saying that, hey, this guy's physical that could do this is Trey Smith. That's it. Nobody else on that offensive line did I consider physical enough. Now, could Jerome Carvin, a true freshman, develop into that? Yes, but he's a true freshman, and he doesn't have typically the strength of the 20- and 22-year-olds he's going to go against. Jameer Johnson, a junior college player, maybe, but I didn't know anything about him. So I think that transition's hard. I asked John Majors, who's a regular guest on our show here on a weekly basis, I said, did you ever have an offensive line that started out slow and got a lot better during the season? His answer? No. So that makes me wonder how much better this offensive line can get. Can it get a little bit better? Yes. But is it going to be appreciably better later in the year? I just don't know. Maybe with great coaching. But you can't get a lot stronger during the season. That has to come in the offseason. Blaine, you'd know about that. But I think that's going to be one of the concerns. So I don't think this offensive line all of a sudden is going to gel and become a great offensive line or even a good offensive line this year.
Jimmy, in so many previous years, the Vols have been unable to get that tough yard, whether it's, you know, third or fourth and short or in a goal line situation. Could Jeremy Banks, you know, be that role player?
He could be. And it's interesting because Tennessee's actually had some pretty good backs in recent years and still couldn't get it, whether it was Jalen Hurd, a 248-pound running back, or Alvin Kamara, who was kind of a darty, shifty guy, but he still weighed over 200 pounds in that power. But you're right. I think a lot of that goes to the offensive line. Could Banks be that guy? Yes, he can. He's going to have some help, though, from the offensive line. But I like Banks's power. I like the fact that he's got a nice burst. He's not a real fast guy, but I think he's kind of quick to the hole for his size. So, yes, I like him. He had the 2 touchdowns against ETSU. He's a very confident guy. And I think he's a running back that can fit exactly what you're talking about. It kind of baffles me to think that the previous coaching staff at Tennessee did not recruit him. I don't know what about him they didn't like, but I think he's a good running back.
And with three good running backs and the fact that they have, you know, for the most part, when everybody's healthy, all run the ball, actually four, Garantano looked pretty good using play action. You think they're onto something in terms of their offense moving forward with the possibility of being able to do that effectively?
Yes, I do. And of course, you've got to run the football to set up the play action, but I do. And I like their running backs. I don't think they're great, but I think they're good. Ty Chandler, Tim Jordan, Jeremy Banks, Madre London. That's a nice collection of running backs. And as Pruitt said the other day, I asked him about, do you want diversity when you have running back by committee? And he said yes, and they have it. I guess the backs that may be more similar to each other might be London and Banks, power backs. But I do think they've got good running backs to help set that up. I think Garantano has done a nice job. Gosh, Tennessee had three pass plays of at least 50 yards in the game the other day, and I think a couple of them were off of play action. So I think they do have something there. Now, the true test is going to be when they start playing really good opponents. And I'm going to say Florida counts, even though they lost to Kentucky, but Florida is going to be a big litmus test for this Tennessee team.
Fair to say, if Jeremy Pruitt has a doghouse, it's a high rise. I mean, there are a lot of guys that he hasn't played because they haven't practiced well. All right. Do you think there'll be a Sean Schamberger sighting? Because to me, that secondary needs him.
Yeah, I think there will be, and he just you hit it. That's Pruitt has said the reason he hasn't played much is he has not done a good job in practice. He was a starter in the spring. Mm-hmm. That's what's so confounding to me as to what's happened with him. But I liked him. I liked him last year when I saw him. He was one of the few bright spots in the secondary for Tennessee. And what's happened is kind of a head scratcher to me, but you're right. This secondary needs all the help it can get. It's not very good. And don't be fooled by the fact that ETSU threw for what, 69 yards or whatever it was. The bigger problem was you gave up 400 something yards passing to West Virginia. So they need all the help they can get. Whether Schamberger's going to show up or not, I don't know. They really do like Bryce Thompson. He had a really nice game against ETSU after having a bad game against West Virginia. But I will still put that asterisk on it. It was ETSU. I want to see what they can do against better competition.
I'm not putting words in his mouth, but Blaine Bishop will tell you that secondary would look a lot better with a good pass rush. And along those lines,
yeah.
Do you think that maybe Pruitt and Scherer, you know, for the most part, hold back their blitz packages until next week and you know, given it's UTEP, try to get to the quarterback the old-fashioned way?
I do. And I don't think they'll get to the quarterback the old-fashioned way much either. Emmett Gooden was the best pass rusher against ETSU. He had their only sack, and that was because he ran the quarterback out of bounds. The two best pass rushers have probably been Gooden and Shy Tuttle, your two inside guys. They got to get something on the perimeter. They got to get something out of Kyle Phillips and Daryl Taylor and Jonathan Kongbo and those guys, and they have not gotten it. DeAndre Johnson, look for him to play some more. I just it's a shame, and I don't mean to pick on him. I think Kongbo's a good athlete, but I just don't think he has a real good feel for the game of football. He hardly played it in high school, and I just think he is what he is. He is. I don't know that he'll ever be a big contributor at Tennessee, but they have got to find some perimeter pass rush. And you would have thought Mars Hill sacked ETSU three times. Tennessee got to the quarterback once. Really? So, I mean, that's kind of a red flag right there. But I don't think they have pass rushers on this team. Somehow they got to develop them.
Until the 15th SEC team maybe next year.
Well, they can rush the quarterback.
No doubt about that. But, Jimmy, I see Tennessee has the fewest penalty yards in the SEC. What does Coach Pruitt say about that? That's a great stat for a head coach when you're in the first year as a head coach. Usually, discipline is one of the things you're trying to get done first and foremost. And it seems like thus far through two games, they've done that.
Blaine, I think there are two things that indicate this team is pretty well coached. That's one of them. 67 penalty yards, at least the SEC with the fewest. That shows some discipline. The other thing is zero turnovers. They're one of only three teams in the country that have played two games that don't have a turnover yet. And so I think that also speaks to coaching about the emphasis about taking care of the football and how precious it is. So I think those two things stand out for Tennessee. as far as an indication of being well coached. And if they're not going to continue the turnover rate, okay, they'll have some. But if they can continue to keep the penalties down and not shoot themselves in the foot, then that's going to give them a better opportunity to win some close games down the road, which I anticipate they will play.
How do you perceive Garantano's, I guess, 71% passer rating thus far through two games?
Well, I think he's done a nice job. The level of competition wasn't very tough against ETSU, but I thought he was good against West Virginia. I think he's come a long way. I think he's got a good live arm. I think he's been accurate. He hasn't thrown that many deep balls. He threw a couple against ETSU. I think he's playing within himself. And I'll give the receiver some credit. The receivers in August camp dropped a lot of balls. There were a lot of balls hitting the ground. That's not happening in practice. It's not happening in games anymore. So they're making the catches that they are supposed to make. And I think that speaks well of the pass game overall. When you got a quarterback that's completing at least 70%, I don't see that ratio continuing, that percentage continuing. But I think he's a guy that can complete 65% or better, which is still a really good number.
Jimmy, thanks so much. We'll catch up with you again on Monday morning.
Okay, guys. Thank you.